Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come this morning. We thank you that you invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Help us to pray as we ought. And Lord, as we look at your word again today and learn from it, write it on our hearts that we would observe it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we have a great example of a good idea but the wrong method. We're in 1 Chronicles 13, and David has become king over Judah and Israel. And one of the first things when he moves the capital to Jerusalem is he wants to move the Ark of the Covenant from Kirjath-Jearim to the capital as an indication of bringing God into the nation and having God's presence in the nation. A great idea, but we'll find although his idea was great, his method was not in accordance with scriptures. So it's a great idea, it's a great example for us to know that the method is important and help us to learn from this. We see we don't want to do anything against God's word. God is so awesome and God is so holy, we don't want to do anything to come against that. And I was just thinking of that great old hymn, Holy, 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 which seems to capture the awesomeness of God, which would be appropriate for the setting here. So let's sing together, Holy, Holy, Holy. He is holy, is he not? And he has said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so, if we never lose sight of that statement, we would stay out of a lot of trouble in getting compromising with the world. Well, we see a good compromise, unfortunately, with the world today in today's study in 1 Chronicles 13. As we were in 1 Chronicles 12, now Chronicles is not necessarily so chronologically organized as Kings, it's more of a spiritual summary. We have in chapter 13, well, let's go back to chapter 12 of Chronicles, we had David forming his army at Hebron, and it shows him there as having become king of all of Israel. He had been king of Judah with the capital at Hebron for 7.5 years. During that time, he did get the army formed, and then we get into chapter 13, we will have him in Jerusalem. But one great verse there in chapter 12 is verse 38. All these men of war who could keep ranks, those were all of the men of war that were serving Saul in the northern tribes of Israel. They came to Hebron with a loyal heart. What a glorious statement of that. To make David king over all Israel, and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. So this is a very godly thing, I think, a very unusual thing. Now, they would have not been in favor of David necessarily earlier on because they would have been serving King Saul. But Saul died, as you know. And then Ishbosheth, his son, was appointed by Abner. And then later he got killed. So now there's no king in the northern 10 tribes. And during that time before Ishbosheth got killed, David kept getting stronger and stronger, and he kept getting weaker and weaker. But now we go to chapter 13, and it says, then David. And so we know there's at least 7.5 years of the reigning in Hebron before he went to Jerusalem. But now he is in Jerusalem, and apparently he wants to unite the kingdoms, of course, into one city. and they all want him to be king over them, and he wants to bring God's presence back into Israel. You know, during the period of the judges and during the period of Saul, Saul was so spiritually dead that there was nothing good happened during his reign necessarily spiritually. And you know, judges is just a miserable mess of 380 years of people doing what they wanted to do, not paying any attention to God except when they got into great trouble. And then they cried out to him, then he rescued them and bring them out of their misery, and then they go right back into it again. So now David wants to bring God back in. Now that's a good idea, isn't it? Isn't that a good idea to bring God into the center of your life? And listen to what he does. He consulted with all his captains of thousands and hundreds, with every leader. Well, he's going to have his leadership. He wants to do, they all want to do the right thing here, right? And so they meet. And he said to his assembly, if it seems good to you and it is of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in the land and so forth. Let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we've not inquired of it since the days of Saul. So starting out so well, this is just such a great vision in a sense, such a great obedient aspect. Then we read, then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Now you won't notice anywhere in here where it says, and they consulted God, and it was God's plan that this was right. It's right in their eyes, so away they go. It just reminds me of how often away I go when I'm sure something is right in God's plan. And I may ask for prayer for others, and that's always good, and they all agree, and away you go, right? But what about God? What does he think about it? Are you really following him? Are you following your own dictates and those who agree with you? Very dangerous as it is here. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor, that's clear down by the Wadi of Egypt, border on the south, to Hamath. That's the area actually north of Dan and into the entrance of Hamath. So this is, he gathered all Israel from the very south to the very north to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath Hearim. Now, if you look at your note on the right side, halfway down, there's a little map there. And you'll notice number one is Aphek, but I want you to go over to number two, which is Shiloh. Shiloh has been the home of the Ark pretty much since they entered the land about 1500 BC. And so it was there in Shiloh during the period of the Judges. Then about 1050 or so, Philistines had another kind of uprising against Israel, and they brought their armies to Aphek, and there were lots of Philistines. Israel kind of freaked out, so they sent over to Shiloh, bring the Ark over here. We know that God will bless it if we put the ark into battle, which was not of the Lord. It came from Shiloh to Ebenezer, and then that's where there was the Ebenezer stone when God did help them. But from there, when God allowed, because of their sin and their being in an apostate position, allowed the Philistines to defeat them and take the ark, they took it down to Ashdod, one of their five cities. And, of course, the Ashdodites immediately, first of all, Dagon fell down, head broke off. They put him up, or not, he didn't break off the first time. He fell down. They put the ark into their temple. And the second time, they set him up again, and then he fell down, and his head broke off, his hands broke off. They all started getting these horrible boils or hemorrhoids or whatever, people don't quite know. And they had all kinds of problems, and everybody was sterile. There was no fertility in the land. And they couldn't get rid of that thing fast enough, so they said, well, we'll bless Gath. Let's send it down to Gath. So they sent it to Gath. Same thing happened there. They sent it up to Ekron. Same thing happened there. So they said, let's send this thing back to Israel. We can't live with it. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a new cart, and we will put two cows to pull the cart up who have babies, who have calves. And, you know, they never want to leave their calves. So that's a very unusual thing to get mothers to leave their calves. But if the mothers leave the calves and take it back to Israel, we'll know that we're not supposed to have it. So they do that, and the cows take right off and leave their babies, and they go up, and they go to Beth Shemesh, and that's where they turn the ark back over to the Israelites. So now the ark is there for a period of about 20 years, during which time Saul is reigning. And now at the end of that 20, maybe 30 years, this guy,
Abinadab,
I believe is his name, they put it in his house at that point in time. He was a Levite. And so it's been there, and now David decides it's time to bring it to the capital, to Jerusalem. To bring it from Beth Shemesh to Jerusalem, well, actually, It got from Beth Shemesh up to Kiriath-Jearim, where Abinadab was, and it was there 20 or 30 years, and then he's going to bring it on in. It's about 12 miles, maybe 15 miles, from Beth Shemesh to Kiriath, and about the same amount from Kiriath to Jerusalem. So that sets the picture for us now of where we are, and it says, verse 7, so they carried the Ark of God on a new cart. When I see that, I just so think of the church today. We got to have a new cart, right? We've got to have the newest thing. We have to have all of these new cart ideas, right? Because they're better than the old ideas. Well, maybe they are and maybe they aren't. In this case, Moses was told very specifically how to build the ark and how to move it. It was to have four rings on it and two poles, and it was to be carried. The ark was to be carried, not put on carts, specifically carried by the Levites. They had been away from so long, they must have lost track of that, or David didn't check with the Lord. He certainly didn't check with the Word of God, or he would have never gone for this. And I think that's really a picture of the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, working in you and I. We're to carry the Word of God ourselves, right? We're not to put it on a cart and try to push it around. It's not going to work. It's got to be through our lives. And so there's to carry that ark. That was the specified way, but they didn't. They put it on new carts. And John Corson had a great idea here, I think, which you probably heard before. But what is a cart? A cart is big wheels and boards. And if you extrapolate that out, too many organizations today are run by big wheels and boards, right? And when you're following big wheels and boards, you aren't following the Holy Spirit. They were not spiritual here as well. They put it on a new cart from the house of Abinadab and Uzzah. Oh, Uzzah means strong, strength. Here's strength, and Ahio is friendly. So now they got strength and friendly with this cart to take it to Jerusalem. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? I mean, I'd like to have a strong guy, and I'd like to have a friendly guy. So Ahio is probably out there, yeah, everything's going great for you. Now, they assemble estimated 30,000 people for this procession. And listen to what that said. All Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. Boy, this is a production. We're going to have the best sound system. We're going to have the best band. We're going to have the best music. This is going to be a production above all times. But is this honoring the Lord? Is it honoring the Lord? Is it just a lot of emphasis on emotion? You know, too many of us look at worship services by the feelings I had, my emotions. Oh, that was a good service. It really touched my heart. Man, I was just so excited about this. Well, emotions don't increase your faith really at all. It's the spiritual side which changes you, right? And they have a great emotional experience here with like 30,000, and that must have been a sound you could have heard forever, or all over, or not forever, but all over the place. But, and so they go on their way. Now they came to Shaddan in this account, Nashon in the king's account, but this threshing floor and strength, Uzzah, put out his hand to hold the ark for the oxen had stumbled. Now we don't read anywhere in all of history where anything to do with the ark or anybody ever stumbled until now. But now there's stumbling, right? And Uzzah is a Levite. He should have known better than to touch the ark. The scripture clearly says whoever touches the ark shall die, right? But he gets, you know, oh, take care of this myself, right? God crisps him right on the spot, kills him right there. Talk about water on a parade. The parade kind of came to a stop there, you know. Here's all these people singing. They must have, then a hush starts going through the crowd. Uz is dead. Uz is dead. He touched the ark. He's dead. And so the whole thing fell apart. Verse 11, and David became angry, or maybe confused, or both, angry because the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? And you might have experiences like that that don't go very well, and you say, you know, how can I please God? How can I do this? Well, go back to the Word of God. If you're following the Word of God, you won't have these problems, right, that they had here, for sure. So Uzzah put out his hand, the anger of the Lord came against him, and he struck him. And then it said, so David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. So we see there's nothing wrong with the ark. But it was with the method. So they had a good idea, but the wrong method. God is interested in methods. No, he doesn't like the attitude, well, it doesn't matter, just any old way we want to get it up there. The point is, we want to get the ark from here up there. That's the point. So use whatever method you want. Or, well, I want to save that soul. It doesn't matter if I tell them the truth or not. You know, anything to get their attention, anything to talk them into the kingdom of God. No, don't do that. Use the method that honors the Lord. If he's not in it, in your worship service, who's the most important person in any worship service? It should be the Lord, right? Does this satisfy? Does this please the Lord? Is this pleasing to the Lord this morning? I pray it is. And as you worship, as you come here or wherever you go with respect to your worship, we shouldn't be looking at it, what did I get out of it, or how inspiring was that to me, but how pleased was the Lord in it? Was the Lord really honored in that? Was the Lord really glorified in that? Because that's the mark, isn't it? It's not the captains of tens and thousands and all those people you want to satisfy. It's God. And so in our life as well. As we summarize this then, we see great idea, but God was not really consulted. There's nothing in here that talks about humility or standing in awe of God at all. It's just, let's get the people all together and make a lot of noise. Let's get a lot of music. Let's get the best musicians in the world. And with all of those, boy, we're going to have a concert above all concerts. And I'm sure they did. 30,000 people there. Must have been something. But God was not pleased. It stopped. Now, I don't know if next time we'll do the next attempt, but, you know, the rest of the story, then David consulted the Word of God, and then they did it again and did it the right way. Well, Father, we want to please you. We want to be in touch with you. We want to be in touch with your Word. And we know if anything we're doing is not in accordance with your Word, you must judge it. Really, you can't condone it. You can't bless it. And so, Lord, guide us now, as here we are this morning, to pray in your name and to pray for those things you would put on our hearts. And thank you for allowing us to assemble and to pray. So let's go to prayer. Father, that is our desire, and even as we see King David and Israel wanting to do the way they wanted to do it. They really were not walking closely with your way and with you. Help us to just have a closer walk with you. That's what you want, Lord. You want that relationship with each of us, close, 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 to be dwelling in us and living in us. And so just a closer walk, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.